to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Central Pennsylvania Shrimp Tank, brought to you from the temporary studio here in the big, big metropolis of Dillsburg, Pennsylvania. I'm your host today, Nathan Imboden, and you can catch a full replay of all of these episodes on our website at shrimptankpodcast.com/CentralPA. Also, be sure to go to our Facebook page, search for the Central PA Shrimp Tank, click that like button, go to your favorite podcast app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Play, nationally through the iHeartRadio platform. Find us specifically, click that subscribe button so you can stay up to date on all of these interviews that we get to do with some of the best and brightest business owners and entrepreneurs right here in our backyard in Central Pennsylvania. And we like to say this is the podcast where we help you earn your MBA in entrepreneurship and business ownership by hearing straight from the mouths of those who have done it, who have lived and breathed starting, building, growing, and running their successful organizations. And right now, we are in an interesting time still here in Pennsylvania in the shutdown, stay-at-home orders, and we're still continuing our series in the crosshairs of Corona. And we've got another unique guest. He's the founder of Gun Mowry, Ted Mowry, and he's going to come with two unique perspectives again. One is, so they've had decisions they've had to make as an organization running a very successful larger organization here in Central Pennsylvania and how to deal with the shutdowns from their perspective. But they also deal with organizations. They provide group health benefits and a lot of group services to small and mid-sized and large businesses and have been able to see the effects it's had on them. So we're going to get both of his perspectives. So without further ado, Ted, why don't I bring you onto the show and just say welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you, Nathan. It's a great day to join you on the Shrimp Tank.
It is, indeed. So Ted, give us a little background. I mean, most people, if they're in Central Pennsylvania watching this, they are familiar with who Gun Mowry is. I would hope so at this point in time. But maybe just give us a little bit of a background of the business, but then talk about, you know, what things look like the first part of the year before March hit and we started seeing shutdowns and stay-at-home orders.
Great. Love to. So Gun Mowry was actually started back in 1985 by my dad, the late Senator Hal Mowry. And dad was a wonderful insurance man himself. Mm-hmm. And he is actually who got me started in the life insurance business right out of college. He stole me from my major of health and physical education and turned me into an insurance person.
There you go.
I enjoyed that start of my career with my dad. And after about 5 years of selling life insurance and financial service products, I said, you know, Dad, people want to buy everything from us. And why don't you help me start a property and casualty agency? Mm-hmm. So that was the genesis of what is now Gun Mowry. We started the company as Penn Property and Casualty. And that fit under an umbrella that my dad had of the Pennsylvania Financial Group. And under PFA were multiple entities, and Penn Property and Casualty fit right in. But after a few years, I realized I needed to get a property and casualty partner. So I was lucky to find a young man exactly my age. We're both 62 this year, by the name of Greg Gunn. And Greg brought with him the expertise that I did not have on the PNC side at the time. And Greg joined me in the late 80s and became a partner in the early 90s. And we've run the business since then.
And rocked it since then, yeah.
Yeah, it's been really a good run. And yeah, the agency philosophy has always been that, you know, we wanted to be a kind of a one-stop shop for our customers and provide not only personal insurance services, business insurance services, but also employee benefits. So we really cover the whole gamut of the insurance and employee benefit field and provide a lot of ancillary services in that area as well. So yeah. Kind of unique, Nathan, to Gun Mowry is the fact that on the property and casualty side, we employ our own claims people and our own safety and loss prevention people. On the employee benefit side, we do the administration of healthcare plans. We do Section 125 flexible spending accounts, HSA accounts, and provide full services there doing COBRA administration as well. So
most of that, if there are other agencies, most of that would be outsourced to either the larger provider or the larger insurance company maybe that's doing that versus in-house like you guys are doing?
Exactly. So that is a differentiator. We think that our clients wanted us to do the work because they knew that, you know, if something didn't go well, we would jump right in and fix it and be close and local. And I always told people if we owe somebody a check, we'll run it over rather than waiting for somebody out of the Midwest, for an example, to send it in the mail.
Yeah. That's a great model. So talk to us about multiple offices, how many employees, whatnot, leading into this sprint.
Okay, great. So Gunn Mowry has grown to having four offices. We have an office in York County, Cumberland County, Centre County, and Lancaster County.
Okay.
Those offices kind of came as we grew. We have done about 11 or 12 acquisitions over the years of other property and casualty or employee benefit operations. And where we had an acquisition that we really liked the model in that territory, we kept that office there. So we have grown to about 70 employees in those four offices combined, with actually the Lemoyne office housing the majority of them here. We call this our home office. And business was rolling right along. I mean, we were doing well. We've had solid growth over the years and continued to add services for our clients. And then COVID hit. And we had to quickly turn on a dime, because our clients didn't stop needing us.
Yeah.
The personal insurance side never slowed down. The business insurance side came with a lot of questions. You know, what am I going to do? I'm not operating now. Does COVID have an effect on my business interruption and my business insurance? And can I get money from the insurance company to help with this? And on the employee benefit side, you know, we were going through furloughs and layoffs and helping our clients understand how do we softly get people off the plan or keep them on the plan through this process. So pretty challenging time. But, you know, I think it also comes, Nathan, with a chance to reset and kind of look again at your operation and how you provide services and how you handle your own people. And I think we've learned an awful lot about our team members and about our abilities to work remotely.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've said that all along, that these times present an opportunity to learn and really develop, enhance what you do, which will not only shape how well you just kind of survive through these periods, but then thrive on the back end. So let's talk about that a little bit. We get the stay-at-home orders. You guys, I would assume in some regards, maybe some lines of your business were considered essential or life-sustaining, maybe some weren't. But what did that look like for the operation and the services you were providing, and then what you were either chose to do or had to do from a business standpoint where employees were working, whether it was at home or staying in the office?
So early on in the order, we were not considered essential for the first week or so, until that changed. So when that changed and we became essential, it affected all lines of our business. So we became essential in the personal insurance, the business commercial insurance, and the employee benefit arena. So that brought extreme focus on technology. So we take a look at, you know, are we deploying, and do we have deployed already the proper technology to allow our workers to be effective from home, to be safe, you know, in the IT environment. We're blessed to have a wonderful IT person here, Anthony Phillips, that wanted to make sure that the equipment that our people were using was not their home equipment for privacy sake, because we deal with a lot of private information, as you do. So, you know, we had to scramble and buy a bunch of laptops and Chromebooks and deploy some speakers and some extra monitors, because a lot of our people are working off of three monitors each day. moving spreadsheets around and doing a lot of work that, I'm not very good at doing, but they are. And that was a little difficult, but we got through it. And we've been effectively working with everybody from home until last Wednesday when we started a phase one return to the LeMoyne office, really quite well. And we found out that, you know, the team members were embracing being at home, although those that had children at home because of daycare being closed had different challenges than I had, you know, living with Lisa with no children or grandchildren in the house. So it was a little bit easier for some of us than others, but it's gone really well. We're really proud of our team. We've got regular meetings. So the different departments have regular meetings. We've got supervisory meetings. We've got sales meetings. Things have continued along, just not face-to-face very often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that was the reality, right? You had to, I mean, you said it. There was a move in the workplace, I think, to start, it was, you know, starting to shift towards heavier tech usage and possibly adapting this maybe migration of working at home and working in the office and whatnot. And this just forced people to do it like that. Did you guys have to lay anybody off or have to go through any of that?
No, fortunately, Nathan, we didn't. We didn't have any layoffs. We didn't have any furloughs. We kept everybody working. We did participate in the government PPP program. Give a shout out to MidPen Bank since I'm on the board, and they did such a fantastic job for a lot of our customers and clients as well as us. So, you know, we didn't skip a beat. We kept everybody working that felt comfortable and was able to. And so far, so good. I think, you know, we are so blessed compared to many businesses in that we have reoccurring revenue, a renewal stream of commissions that help us through these types of tough times. Not everybody is that lucky. So we've been really focused on trying to help our clients get through this and come out of it stronger and better and more financially able to handle the next crisis that we might have come down the
road. Yeah. So maybe talk a little bit about some of the issues and challenges you saw the businesses you were dealing with face. Like what were some, because I mean, we've seen everything from places that physically couldn't operate. And I think in your case, even though you were deemed essential after the first week, that pretty well only had to do with, well, can we have people in our physical location? They couldn't restrict you from operating from home and still, you know, participating in providing those services. But there were some places that couldn't do that, some that could. But what challenges were the biggest challenges that some of the businesses you were facing?
So let me just speak first to GunMaury and some of our decisions, and then I'll parlay that into some of our customers. So our team was really concerned about the safety of the employee first. And we took a very conservative stance on that. And, you know, I've got a very caring, wonderful, smart partner in Greg Gunn and his supervisory team that he's assembled. We all kind of huddled and figured out that we can make this work remotely, and we don't want to bring people into the office unless we have to. So we chose to have someone come in and do the mail, someone come in and cut checks for our clients that needed reimbursements on their, you know, health savings account or flexible spending account or whatever. But we kept everybody away from the office and safe. That decision wasn't easy. You know, that was a tough one, but we wanted to follow the guidelines that the government was putting out, and we did so. And that's worked out really well for us. For our clients, Nathan, you know, from food service, restaurants, bars, entertainment, construction, car dealers, you know, not so well for them because they rely on new coming in the door every day to drive revenue. And that was tough on them. So we've worked really hard at adjusting some payrolls, So workers' comp rates weren't as high, changing some projections on sales figures to try to help reduce some of the premiums. And our carrier partners have been fantastic at also working with our clients to give them some flexibility on payments. And it's been hard, you know, after this is my 40th year in business. I started selling life insurance in 1980. So I've never experienced the pain that I've witnessed from my customers as much as I have through this last 3.5 months or so. So that's a little bit hard, but we posted a lot of great information on our website. We put a lot of good communications out to our clients to try to help them and assist in any way we could.
Yeah.
Happy to see some of them returning to work and back at it again.
Have you seen any of the organizations that you're working with have to actually close down at this point, or have most of them been able to weather it to this stage?
I'd say 95% of our customers have been able to weather the storm. I think there's going to be a delayed effect, though, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
We've got some reprieve for the next short period of time, but
right.
Long term, I think it will have some negative effects. We have seen some, you know, food service organizations that maybe had multiple locations and shutting down their weakest location. And saying, you know, we're not going to return there right now. We're going to keep the lease and maybe reopen again when we get a little bit stronger. But most of all, it's been really good, and we haven't seen a lot of losses in businesses going out of business.
Well, hopefully the PPP loan programs, I say programs, the multiple rounds of that was designed to help try to mitigate a lot of that from happening. So hopefully that has done its job. Now, you're right. We're only 3 months into this. I mean, it was almost to the day 3 months ago when the actual shutdown orders happened. So at least as of this recording, so this will be a little bit delayed when it gets published. But
I also, I'd be remiss if I didn't, you know, really give some accolades to one of our senior managers that stepped up right before this all happened and was promoted to a chief administrative officer of the organization. Her name's Janice Bolton, and Janice and I went all through elementary school together, and she worked for another firm for a long time until we were able to bring her over to Gunn-Mowry years ago. And Janice stepped up and is the point person in our organization for all the issues, whether they're technology, return to work, safety, environmental, and just has done a fantastic job leading through that process. And I think Greg, who's our managing partner, was brilliant in identifying someone that had the strength and the ability to lead us through this process, because the office has kept Greg and I out of the office until just very recently. They didn't want us around. We're too old now, you know, and susceptible. So, Janice and her team have just done a fantastic job. And I think helping our clients as well, you know, showing them some of the things that we've done.
Yeah, fantastic. So what are you focusing on now with businesses as that's different than, I mean, early on it was just trying to compile probably all the information that was out there and maybe simplify to the most relevant guidance you can provide. But what are you focusing on now with businesses, helping them manage things going forward?
Well, that's a great question. I think our goal right now in the businesses that are comfortable meeting face-to-face is to get our team back out there, sitting down with people again, talking about the issues that they have, any changes that they feel they need to make in their insured programs or their self-insured programs. I mean, that was one of the really tough battles that we had, is that we have about 40 healthcare plans in our consortium called Genesis Healthcare that all renewed on June 1. Anybody that's gone through healthcare renewals knows that it's an excitable period of time, and we had to remotely and not face-to-face deal with a lot of healthcare plans and helping employers onboard and offboard people and new plans and sometimes new carriers. And, you know, it was a difficult time, but we got through that because our clients, you know, persevered and understood the long term was the important thing right now. So, you know, I think helping them strategically plan over this next several months will be really important. And I can't wait to be face to face with a lot of them again.
Yeah, agreed. So what have you learned? What kind of things have you adjusted to as an organization these last 3 months that you think are going to actually carry forward that you've looked at and said, oh my gosh, why weren't we doing this before? And this has made our organization so much better. So we got to keep doing it.
That's another good question. And I think probably a real eye-opening experience for Greg and I, who have been very traditional, wanting to see people in the office, was the fact that working from home does work.
Yeah.
And if you have the right team members on board, you know, they're going to do their job. And I think, you know, specifically for us, and I'm sure many other companies, we're going to embrace that more moving forward. And, you know, there have been friends of mine that have owned companies that have had great employees move from Pennsylvania to Florida, for an example. And they were able to keep them as great employees by allowing them to work from home. And I think we're going to have a fair amount of that, too. We're going to have people that, you know, either have doctor's appointments or child issues or whatever it might be, that we're going to embrace working from home more than we ever have in the past. So that's probably a big thing for us. And also staying on top of the technology purchases. So you do have the right technology deployed when you need it the most.
Yeah. But we, I would say, got lucky in our timing as we had probably about 2 years ago started upgrading ours, and we did it to laptops and, you know, some cloud-based subscription services for document storage and whatnot, which made this transition a lot smoother because we weren't having to solve that issue in the midst of trying to convert to that migration. So that's, yeah, I mean, that's, I think the way of the future is utilizing that to your advantage. Technology can be a scary thing, but there's people out there that can help you do it well. So you have a great person on staff who can help manage that and make it as effective as possible for the organization. And I've heard a term that's being used right now called independent accountability, which is speaking exactly to the situation that you described about the friend of yours who had a great employee move down to Florida. Well, if you trust that person and give them that independent accountability, a lot of times they'll thrive, but you have to allow them to be accountable to themselves. And I think just personally, if you don't trust that, there's probably two issues, one of two issues. Either you've got the wrong people working for you, or something's in here up here that you need to change about yourself to allow it to happen.
So,
yeah, interesting. Well, I know at some point we want to have you on to do a much longer segment where we can hear more about the development of the business itself and talk a little bit about the Born team that we have that you guys have graciously participated in with some of that expertise. But for today, I mean, great examples of how you lead as an organization, how I think a lot of what I heard was having the right people in the right roles to be able to allow your organization to thrive. You said it early on in your career, well, one, making the decision to provide larger, broader services. Two, recognizing that you didn't have an expertise and finding the right partner in Greg to come alongside you, bring your ops person, your admin person, your IT person. Just delegating well is an extremely valuable, I think, role that you can then play. So kudos to that. And thanks for providing that advice and insight to everybody listening.
Well, thank you. You know, my partner Greg's always said that I eat resources for breakfast. And one of the things that that I learned through this is that when you do delegate and you do trust people to do their job and to do it well, it's probably the most satisfying thing to sit back and to watch your team come together and take care of the issues. And although I'm a consensus builder, and I love having consensus. Some things you're just not going to get consensus on, and you need somebody to lead, make decisions, and follow through. And that's where I wanted to just compliment all of our people, that they've allowed a point person like Janice to just take it. We might not always agree 100% on what she's deciding, but it moves the organization forward and gives us solidarity. And I think that that's been a really important lesson that I've learned.
Yeah, awesome. Well, and you've inspired me. I think I may create a t-shirt now that says, "I eat resources for breakfast."
I've never had a problem delegating.
I love it. It's masterful. It's funny when you hear, and then I'm going off on a small tangent, but I think one of the most valuable lessons I learned early on in my career was you want to almost make yourself dispensable, mm-hmm. because in doing that, you've created way more value around you and through you than if you have to have your hand in every little thing, because you can't, like you said, you can't pick up and go anywhere. You can't trust that things are going to get done without you. And it can be a scary thought, because then you think, oh, if I'm dispensable and people don't need me, then they don't need me. And, you know, I've lost my value. No, you've created your value by mm-hmm. putting it in place. So, so I eat resources for breakfast. This just speaks volumes. That's awesome. Well, Ted, we talked before, and you know how I like to end these shows on continued positive notes, because most guests are being able to bring a lot of positivity. But one of the things I just like to ask is any examples you might have of either organizations or businesses that have really come together and thrived in these 3 months, turning this really difficult situation into a very positive situation.
So, yeah, I think, Nathan, I have a really good example. You know, construction is something that we specialize in on the casualty side. And so we are blessed to have some wonderful construction clients out there. And as you know, they were a delayed return, and they did not get added as quickly as other industries did in the opening back up. But I saw some really great collaboration happen in the marketplace. So I'll just give you a quick example. We have three longtime wonderful clients, Jessica Myers at the GEM Group, Jim Mooney at Ingenuity, and Barry Kent at Seco. And I watched tangentially, not involved, but I watched them come together to create a product for their customers and the communities that they serve to safely bring their employees back to work. So the GEM Group, being a general contractor, doing initiatives like automatic doors, opening and closing, touchless entry, just as an example. Ingenuity with, you know, new efficient high filters for the air quality in your buildings, and the plumbing and the electrical that Seco can do to help make our environment safer and better for our employees, whether they're in the kitchens or the restrooms or wherever they might be. And I can't remember, Nathan, what they call it right now, but they have a term out there, and the three of them are in the marketplace. We're embracing some of those items right now at Gunn Maori as they're working for us. And I just thought that was great to see three local companies recognizing a real need in the community for safety, comfort, and they're making it happen. So a shout out to them.
That's great. That is great. Yeah, we will certainly have that as part of our blast, so they get some recognition, because coming together is a big theme, I think, of what these last 3 months have been about. Even though a lot of us, you know, the social isolation is what we've been trying to avoid, we've seen this a tremendous amount of people coming together in light of a lot of the unfortunate divisiveness that's still out there in the world. But well, great example of that. So thanks for sharing that.
Oh, well, thank you.
So for people who are watching this who are thinking, maybe they have thoughts of, well, my provider isn't doing this kind of stuff. They're not going above and beyond like this. the model that Mowry is running sounds like it's really, really neat and would be beneficial to our organization, but don't know maybe exactly where to turn for a starting point. What's the best way for those folks to either find out about your organization or just get in contact with somebody to start a discussion?
I think one of the best things to do is just reach out to Greg or myself. We're both very accessible. We're connected to our phones, our computers all day long. Visit us on the web. You'll see a Meet the Team page. You can go down and read a little bit about every one of our team members and see their faces and connect and understand their specialties. We do an awful lot of joint work together here, so we don't have this competitive internal environment. It's more about solving the issues and the problems for our customers and prospects. So reach out to us. We're here. We're open for business, and we want to help any way we can, regardless how small you think the issue might be. I mean, yeah. Some of the most satisfying things that we do can be not a large financial transaction, but it makes someone's day, makes someone more comfortable with their insurance buying decisions. So look to us. The web's great. Call us. My cell phone number is 717-648-6100. Open all the time. Give me a call.
There it is. Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, Ted, thank you again for carving some time out of your day to join us and provide some insight and some great advice. And just from 40 years of experience, being able to say that, I guess officially, when did you start in 1980?
So in my senior year in college, I was a health and phys ed major. I was going to teach and coach. And in the spring of my senior year, I decided to go into the life insurance business with my dad. Okay. So I actually got licensed in March of 1980 and sold my first life insurance policy in the summer of 1980. So That's how long it's been. And I want to give Nathan, you and your team a compliment as well. You guys are very forward-thinking, creative, always looking to bring value in ways that other firms don't. And the whole Bourne process, I know we'll talk about that another time, but the sharing of the wealth of data that you guys have, along with the other professionals in that group, I think is an excellent way to round out customers' quality experience. And you guys are a great thought leader in that. So thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that. Thank you for those kind words. And yeah, we will get you back on and spread more of the good news about what the Bourne team does as a great value-add service to provide here to businesses in Central PA. But for now, again, thanks for being on and for sharing some of your wisdom with all of our viewers here at home.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Awesome. Awesome. So again, everybody at home, one of the biggest things I'm going to take away from the talk with Ted is delegation. And a lot of that starts with trust. So it's like a marriage. Do your dating. Make sure you do enough due diligence up front. Know what you want, what your organization needs, and then trust and allow them to do their job and perform to their maximum ability. This idea of independent accountability makes you as a business owner, if you are a business owner, so much more valuable, makes your organization more valuable, and allows you to thrive in ways that you probably couldn't imagine. So again, delegate, be comfortable and willing to delegate, and be willing to let go. We're going to keep bringing this series in the crosshairs of Corona while it's relevant. Which may be a while. We don't know how long this is going to go on, but we are getting some great tidbits and pieces of information from business owners. So keep staying tuned and tuning in to all these updates as we bring to them multiple times each week. And we'll see you on an upcoming episode of the Central PA Shrimp Tank. Thanks, everyone.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the
murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Want to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.